This is Tofu Dave on your community radio station with another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie. And today I have on the line the author of a new book, After Woodstock, Howard Riess from upstate New York. Howard, are you on the line?
I am. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Howard. You know, fascinating book you wrote here, and I see you've actually written, I know, lots of books, a dozen books or something. You're a graduate of Dartmouth College and Columbia Law School. You founded a soup kitchen up in Nyack, New York, and you wrote a book that's real interesting. It's a novel, but Howard, I have to tell you, when I read it, I kept getting confused between fiction and reality, and I kept thinking, huh, this guy Brian, who wrote the book, but Brian is fiction. Tell me how you decided to write this book. Why did you write it?
Well, I attended Woodstock, and I attended Woodstock at the time back in 69 with my best friend, and it had an influence, a big influence on me. I don't know if it had as big an influence on my friend, but it sort of, I always called myself when I got out of law school the hippie lawyer, because I refused to wear a suit and, you know, I didn't do things I didn't want to do. But I always sort of fantasize about what would have happened if I went off in a different direction, because I did think about it. So I think Brian and Jack are both me. One part of me in which I go off in one direction and one in which I go off in a different one.
Uh-huh. And maybe all of us have a little of that. We have a little bit of wanting to be maybe more creative or freer than we are, but then we have this side of us that's, well, I got to have a job. I got to have an income. And that's sort of, I guess, what you're struggling with here.
It is. It's also, in a way, it's a struggle in terms of, there's a fair amount of Buddhism in the book in terms of what Jack goes into after Woodstock. And it's sort of a way, most of my writing took place after I turned 60, when I stopped being a lawyer and became a writer. Uh-huh. And, there's always the examination of religion and larger place we have in life. And I think this book deals with that in some respect.
Uh-huh. And how does your founding of a soup kitchen in Nyack, New York, come into this whole thing? I see that's featured on the cover of the book. How does that integrate into your thinking about life and how you fit in?
Well, I think it integrates in terms of my overall life and how I raised my kids. I always thought it was important to give back to the community, and I've always been active with the soup kitchens, and have my kids be active in it from a young age, so that they, you know, the idea of giving back. And actually, when our soup kitchen was discontinued because the church decided to make bingo instead of feeding the poor, it was gone for about 5 years, so a bunch of us got together and resurrected it.
Uh-huh. We have a similar thing down here. Where me and my partner for years went and cooked food for the homeless shelter, and we had a couple very interesting experiences where, a lot of the fresh foods, at least, were donated, which included a lot of cheeses that our clients found pretty weird. And that was just sort of a funny, cultural thing to be serving these things that people were like, what's that? That smells a little more than I want.
Well, we set up a really good, if got the time to hear this, we have the soup kitchen is all the churches and synagogues sort of set in teams. So we have 10 teams, and each team works on Sunday and serves. We have tablecloths, and then people get served. And each team is responsible for paying and making their own meal. So it really is very low cost. Each week people get different teams, create different, an Italian team will have a great Italian meal. So the homeless get great meals.
And a very varied exposure.
Absolutely.
To different food cultures, I take it. So that's great. And, ties into your book, After Woodstock, by Howard Riess, R-E-I-S-S. Your book, After Woodstock, we got two guys that are sort of like in a way, polar opposites, although they're soulmates, and they really don't see each other in your novel for decades until one of them is on his deathbed.
And right, although they do write to each other, so they do they keep the, you know, the lines of communication open.
And so what's that about? They're so in your thinking they're so apart aside from these very soul-bearing letters every number of years, but then at the deathbed of sort of, let's exaggerate a little bit, the hippie guy who lived in the country, the big-time lawyer finally gets to reunite with him on his deathbed. And I guess I have an innuendo there that in a way the at that point holding his buddy's hand at the end of life, the big-time lawyer who has no spouse, who has no kids, who's all alone, seems to, in a way, I don't want to overstate it, but get a revelation or learn something at that moment. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think that's true, and I think the it's one time I was with an old friend who was single and never married, and she said that not every life is about love. And what I was trying to conclude in this book is that I believe the opposite. I believe that every life should be about love. And for Jack, who became very successful as a lawyer and had plenty of money and plenty of girlfriends and you know, lawyer friends, he never found that love. And I think what he saw what Jack had, which was a life filled with love, he was hoping for a second chance if their life indeed was a circle and goes around again. So I think what I was trying to say, and I think this is what Woodstock was about, that, you know, it's all about love and all about being, you know, kind. I always tell my kids that my true religion is kindness. And, you know, I think all life should be about love.
Mm-hmm. Be kind and be here now.
Yep.
Yes, good words. And, you know, to conclude, we're living in sort of difficult times when a lot of what we hear in, you know, on our telephones, on our mobile devices, on our media is maybe the opposite of what you're talking about, war, hatred, negativity. You have any concluding thoughts through your novel or through your life? And how do you maintain that spirit of, let's say, your book is called After Woodstock, so how do you maintain that spirit of Woodstock and love and kindness in difficult times?
Well, you're certainly right about this being difficult times, and again, what I always tell my kids is you got to find the humor in things. Find the humor in things, and you'll find a way to be kind. It's work, but you've got to do it. You've got to do the best you can to be kind and find the humor in life. What else is there?
Well, you know, good words. Thank you, Howard Rees, author of After Woodstock. Hopefully here on Community Radio, Between the Covers, we found a little humor today. This is your host, Tofu Dave. We'll see you next time with another edition of Between the Covers on Literature Quickie on your community radio station, WCOM Chapel Hill and Carver.